This interview is brought to you by WatchAndWager.com.
At WatchAndWager.com, you'll find more racing action than any other ADW in America, with a $300 sign-up bonus, along with an additional $10 deposit bonus free when you make your first deposit via ACH, WatchAndWager.com is the place to play. Plus, WatchAndWager now offers all New York tracks and is available to California residents. WatchAndWager.com, licensed, regulated, and trusted in the USA. In a press release sent August 1st, 25 of the sport's most prominent trainers, including trainer Graham Motion, announced their support for a plan to phase out the use of race day medication in the sport by 2016. And Graham, nice enough to spend a little time with me this morning to kind of fill me in on all the details there. Graham, thanks so much for taking a little time.
Yeah, not at all. Thanks for having me, Mike.
You know, this seemed to kind of come as a bit of a surprise to many people. How did it all come about?
I think it all stems back from over the Triple Crown, we were asked to release our vet records for the Grade 1 races. And to be honest, I think quite a few of us were not that comfortable with us. I did sign it. I wasn't particularly comfortable with doing it. I think it's very confusing for the general public when you start releasing vet records. I, for one, was not even familiar with one of the scientific names for one of the products that one of my horses has been treated with. So When I see that, it makes me think, how does the general public understand what these medications are? Not that anyone's doing, you know, looking to do something malicious, but it's just very confusing, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
So this led to the question of what would we be prepared to do, and what would, in the eye of the public, you know, improve the look of horse racing in this country? What would make things look better? And this was an idea that was brought up by some of the New York trainers, was the idea of, you know, no race day medication. I mean, quite frankly, any time a vet can walk in a stall and treat a horse on race day, I think you're inviting problems, and that's where it stems from.
Yeah, and it seems to me, with everything that we read about race day medications and phasing them out over the past couple of years, the one medication that always seems to come to the forefront is Lasix. And I've always maintained, and I said this earlier in the program, that we have far bigger concerns in this sport than picking on Lasix, so to speak. Do you agree?
I do. I agree. I mean, I think Lasix is not the evil medication that it's perceived to be. I think, from my point of view, you know, some of the other medications such as Buse and the pre-race medications are perhaps more significant. But at the same time, we're trying to improve the perception of the sport, and nobody else in the world uses race day medications or is allowed really to perform on any medication. So I think, you know, we were trying to come up as a group of trainers with a way to improve the image of our sport, and this is what we came up with. And I find it a little bit, I don't know what the right word is, but the fact that everybody throws up their arms up in the air and says, you know, we cannot compete without medication, I think that's unreasonable. I think everybody in the world does, and everybody else in the world does, and I don't know why we're any different from them.
Well, Wayne was quoted in that press release as saying that American racing has always been a global leader. So I guess my question would be, why are we so concerned with trying to conform to what other countries are doing?
Because I think it's important to us as an industry, as a bloodstock industry. It's important to the auction companies. You know, we want to be perceived as the best racing in the world, or level with the best racing in the world. And I'm afraid, as long as we have medication, there's always going to be a stigma. Now, listen, I don't think this is something that's going to happen every night, and I think overnight. This was something that, by starting a conversation about it, this created a movement, perhaps, in this direction, which, you know, obviously there's been a lot made of it.
Well, I did an interview with some folks from the Racing Medication and Testing Consortium on the same program not too long ago, Graham, and of course they've introduced the uniform medication reform, which they're hoping every state will adopt, and that's slowly happening. But is that a policy that you're in favor of, and is that a program that is sufficient enough to keep everybody, I guess, on an even playing field?
I think it's a huge step in the right direction. I really do. And I give them a lot of credit for coming up with this plan. And I think the sooner everybody adopts that policy, the better. You know, I don't think people realize quite how complicated it is in this country, where every state adopts different medication policies. And it, to be quite frank, as a trainer, it's extremely confusing to know the different restrictions from different states. It's almost like every time you race a horse in a different state, you're going to another country. So, sure. You know, this is something that's really going to help trainers. And I don't think, you know, the proposal that we've put forward is going to happen overnight, but I think it's something that starts a conversation about it. And quite frankly, I think, you know, people tend to not train it as the ones that are wanting to use this medication all the time. And I'm not sure that's always the case.
Yeah, so if the medication reform is a good step in the right direction, then why not just come out and say, as 25 top trainers in the game, we're backing this effort and this policy, as opposed to coming out and basically creating a whole new policy?
You know, I think this was something that was put to some trainers, and I was not one of the ones that it was brought up with originally. But it was put to us, well, if you won't sign this document as far as releasing the vet records, what would you sign? And this is where it stemmed from.
Yeah, and why sign that document if you weren't overly comfortable, Graham?
I'm perfectly comfortable with it. I mean, to be honest, if it was said that there could be no medication in racing tomorrow, my life would be a whole lot easier. And I just don't buy this argument. And to be honest, the more I hear the arguments for running with medication, the more strongly I feel about it, because I just don't believe that we can't operate without medication in this country. And the idea that some of the higher level trainers, that it's easier for us to operate without medication as compared to a trainer at Penn National, I think that's absurd. You know, if horses need medication that badly, then surely they shouldn't be racing.
Talking with trainer Graham Motion here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Graham, that latest list of trainers to support this effort includes Hall of Famers Dwayne Lucas, Shug McGahee, Roger Atfield, Neil Drysdale, Richard Mandela, Bill Mott, and of course your mentor, Jonathan Shepherd. Maybe the most surprising name on the list is that of Todd Pletcher, who previously had not voiced his support for this type of plan, but there were also some significant omissions, including Nick Zito and Dale Romans, who said they didn't know anything about the discussions. How does that even happen?
Yeah, I really don't know. I wasn't an organizer of this, Mike, so I really wasn't akin to how it all came about. But I don't think anyone was left out on purpose. I think, you know, people were asked, and I don't know where this came from. I don't know how the list came about, who was asked, who wasn't asked. So I really can't tell you the significant facts behind it, to be honest.
Yeah, and I would think the more the merrier, because there is strength in numbers, maybe even more so in this particular type of scenario. In order for any type of program in this sport, medication-related, to work, it has to be adopted by every single state. At least in my opinion, that's the only way it can be done, is if every state is on board. Is that the only way this can work, Graham?
Absolutely. I think it's the only way it can work. And on top of that, something I feel really strongly about is nothing's going to work if we don't increase race day security. I mean, it doesn't matter what the rules are. If nobody's overseeing the rules and stopping the rule breakers, then it doesn't really matter what we do.
You know, Alan Foreman, the chairman of the Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, obviously opposed to this particular proposal, let's say. And he brought up the timing of the release last week, tying in with the annual Jockey Club Roundtable, which meets in Saratoga on Sunday. The Jockey Club has been pushing hard to phase out LASIK for some time. Is there any validity to those type of comments?
Again, Mike, I just don't really know. As far as the timing and who was asked to sign the document and what have you, I really wasn't behind it. I was purely one of the people that was asked to sign it. And for some reason, I seem to have become somewhat of a spokesman for it, which was really not my design.
No, not at all. And you said, you were quoted as saying, it opens up the discussion. And you just said that a short time ago here as well. It opens up the discussion of these issues. But again, if any real change is going to take place, it has to be done on the state level with every single state that has racing. And I'm not sure how we get everybody on the same page, but it seems like that uniform medication reform is one way of doing it, and people are slowly coming around to terms with that.
I agree, and I think it's a great step. And like I say, I applaud them for getting those measures together. But, again, to stress my point, I think all this is very well, but if we don't increase security around the racetracks and if we don't put money into security, I think all this becomes invalid because we need rule enforcers, and I really don't feel like we have a lot of that on the racetrack. To me, one of the best things that ever happened to New York racing was having a detention ban 6 hours before the race. And that was done away with, and I think that was a terrible shame.
Graham Motion here on Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, medication front and center. It's a hot-button topic. It has been for quite some time. And Graham, as you mentioned, you've kind of become thrust into the spotlight as a spokesperson for this particular program that was announced last week. But in Graham Motion's opinion, outside of the security at the racetracks, what other steps can be taken or should be taken to make sure that this sport in the United States is perceived in the right manner?
Well, I think the biggest problem we have, and it's not a secret to anyone, is that we really lack having an overseeing body in our industry, and that's why it's so hard to get these rules, made. It's why it's so hard to get all the states on the same page, and I think that would be something that's probably more important than anything. But unfortunately, I don't ever really see that happening, with all the states having their own different opinions and different rules. So, look, I'm not that up on all the politics, and I don't intend to be, and I don't pretend to be. I think, this idea came from a question of asking us how we think we could improve the image of racing, and this is what was brought up.
Yeah, and I've said that I think the average fan that goes to the racetrack on the weekends or maybe a couple times a week really doesn't care about Lasix. They're not going there. It's not going to keep them away because a horse is racing on Lasix. I don't know if it's really all that big of an issue for the general public as we're making it out to be.
No, I think that's a fair comment. I think it's more about how we're perceived as an industry outside of the USA. And I think that's very important for everyone. It's important that people want to come over and buy our horses. So it's important to the, whether it's the farms in Kentucky or the trainers. I think that's the perception that we need to improve.
Yeah, and there's been talk in recent months, especially from the jockey club themselves, Ogden Phipps, making comments that if every state hadn't adopted the medication reform guidelines by the roundtable on August 10th, that they would pursue federal legislation for the industry. And Graham, I'm not a fan of that. I'd like to know your opinion.
Well, I don't know a lot about it, Mike, but I think if we could avoid that, it would be, if we could come up with a solution ourselves, which I think the interstate program is a huge step in that direction. If we can avoid going to the federal level, I would imagine that would be in all of our best interests.
Yeah, I would agree 110%. Graham Motion here on Horse Racing Radio Network. Graham, you're a class act. You're always more than accommodating with your time, and I can't thank you enough for that, and really appreciate you joining me for a little bit here this morning to kind of clear this up a little.
Well, I hope I've helped in that aspect.
Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, Mike.